PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome to episode one of a brand new podcast on THP Radio Network called Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, or Canadan, on many of the social activities that you'll find around THP in the community. And with me is Rob Miller, a.k.a. Rob Miller Time, a.k.a. Hip Check. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. It's a premiere episode. It seems like a long time coming. I'm very excited.
Yeah, we've been bantering back and forth about what we want Off Course to be. We both have experience in the podcast history in podcasting in general. But this is kind of our baby. It's kind of something we want to grow over time. But Rob, what is Off Course to you right out of the gate?
Off Course represents pretty much everything that you'd ever want to talk about in golf. We don't want to focus on just one topic. We want to make a really kind of hopefully an enjoyable and fun podcast that could be about the tour. It could be about, like, this week we're talking a little bit about Masters Week. We probably have to touch on courses being closed around the country, although you're pretty set there in Ohio. Anything, equipment and so forth. We just want to make kind of light and fun, and then either you guys follow us on social at Off Course THP. That's both on Instagram and Twitter, and also in the THP forums. You can go in there and give us some feedback, and then also questions. We got a lot of great feedback on. I think we're up to like 6 or 7 pages on posting that the podcast was premiering this Friday. We appreciate that. And we'll try to incorporate those more as we go along and kind of make it your podcast, and hopefully you enjoy it.
That's what I'm excited about. I've always been a community guy, especially from a THP perspective. I love engaging with other golfers. And if we can highlight some of the thoughts they have, maybe create new conversations outside of the community, but then bring it back all together and again on our socials. So if you do have questions for us, do make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you are a part of the THP community, make sure to get those questions asked on a weekly basis. And we'll take our favorites and continue to make episodes for you. So, Rob, do you want to just jump right into the real thing?
Oh, yeah. We have to lead in with Masters Week without the Masters, because that's what we just hit.
It was a quiet week for a lot of golfers last week, and what would normally be kind of a pinnacle moment in many states to start the golf season.
Yeah, Masters kicks off everything, even traffic on internet golf sites like our own. That's when people really start ramping up. There are some states out there that I'm thoroughly jealous of. You as well. That experience golf year round, but I don't do that. I'm in Jersey. You're in Ohio, and not having the Masters this year for me really hits home, because I had 4 tickets to the Tuesday practice round, and it was during my kids' spring break, and my wife and kids, we were all going to go down and to Hilton Head for the week and then go to Augusta. Everything was perfect. And it turns out it was too perfect.
Yeah, you were telling me not too long ago the weather was phenomenal. And anytime you commit to a trip like that, you create such amazing concepts in your head of how it's going to be. And then you come to it and suddenly it's like, oh man, that one day with all that rain or that wind. But it sounds like it was really teed up for you.
Yeah, when I looked back, I didn't want to look the day of, but that Tuesday was 84 and not a cloud in the sky. So could only imagine, because there's a lot of people that get their day ticket to the Masters and everything rides on that weather. So you're hoping it's not, a weather rain out, because that's happened. And I know the Masters takes care of you, but hey, that's about the most difficult tournament to get to for everybody, because there's nothing really close. You either have to be 2.5 hours away in Atlanta or an hour and something in Columbia, South Carolina, or like us, 2+ hours in Hilton Head. So there's a lot riding on it. Oh, it would have been perfect. And it's just my luck, So now we've got the Pumpkin Spice Masters.
a very controversial image going on social from you.
That's right. In the fall. So I've got a hotel room and it's set up. It won't be with the family, but I've got something. It's probably my brother and I. And what happens to the other two tickets? I don't know. Maybe I'll leave a eBay link at the bottom of the first podcast.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But from a Masters Week perspective, normally we're full for five full days, technically, of just digesting visual content while sitting. Personally, me in Ohio, it's not usually a great week for golf. And obviously you, a little bit north and east is probably even worse. But what did you do to make up that time as we would normally be watching the azaleas bloom?
Well, because everybody's under self-quarantine or social distancing, there wasn't too much to do here. Parks are closed and so forth. And I did get one round in, not last week, but before the courses were closed in New Jersey. But we did, I did a lot of watching of the I don't know, reruns or whatever you want to call it, the re-airings on the Golf Channel of 86, 97, 2004, and of course last year, 2019. That was about it. But boy, when you hear those, when you're just watching a beautifully struck shot on a Masters broadcast and you hear the birds, whether they're fake or not, I don't know. it's just something magical about that as a golf fan.
Yeah. I'm not much of a TV guy anymore. I've actually deleted my cable due to the fact that there is no sports to watch. And frankly, that's what I watch TV for outside of your typical Netflix, Hulu. Unfortunately, not sponsored by them. So I'm just name throwing for no reason. but I got actually lucky where my course, and originally my county had closed off all the golf courses, but they actually opened them back up. So I spent Masters weekend playing a couple rounds. And in the as you sit there, I see you shaking your head. So we sat there. I took out an old school Toulon back when the EP covered them. They had a season opener Masters head cover. I put it on. I caught all kinds of grief from my playing mates. Reminded me of what could be. Yeah. I said, look, man, we're golfing. It's fine.
You deserved it. That's kind of, I mean, you're flexing there.
What is worse to you? Golfing with Masters stuff on Masters Sunday or not having a Masters and still putting that stuff on the golf course to go and play on that Sunday?
Well, if there's a Masters, I'm watching it. I wouldn't golf. The good thing about the Masters is on the East Coast, the final round really doesn't start the TV coverage until about 3 o'clock, right? But it changes depending on what they want to do. You do have the Masters app and stuff like that. But there's one of the majors I'll forego, maybe not the PGA, but the majors I'm definitely watching over going out and playing some golf.
Do you feel like your season started without the Masters occurring? Do you feel like golf has begun yet, or are you still waiting for that all clear thing to get out there and start that feel?
No, it hasn't started. The reason I was smiling is because I can only imagine where you know, my course is lobbying with many courses about getting the New Jersey governor to open them up with certain, you know, social distancing measures in place. I remember I sent them info about the, you know, the pool noodle, the cut the hole, but now everybody's saying use raised cups, those type of things, but they're still not opening it up. I mean, they actually have taken it the other way and just closed parks. So you can't even go and walk in a park here. So it's tough. It's not easy.
So we have the PVC pipe in the cup here. They're taking a lot of measures to make sure people are being careful. But I'll tell you what, I do feel like, you know, over the last 10 years being connected with the THP community, every winter you go on the forums and you have these guys from Florida just, you know, waving whatever finger they want at you saying, hey, yep, what's it like to not golf right now? And I'm feeling that right now. I feel like I have the advantage over the East Coast.
I get that from California. I think California, it's a voluntary thing, but something like 85% of the courses are actually closed right now, somewhere around that. I don't know if that includes private clubs, but yeah, I mean, you do have an advantage. It would be different right now for me, for sure. If my club was open, I would have probably been there every day in March. You know, I would have just gone and gone and gone. But 21st of March it closed. We hit 30 days of self quarantine, or maybe it's 31. Who knows?
Wow.
It doesn't really matter.
So we talked a little bit about what's in the bag with you, and it sounds like there's some clubs in there that get a little bit old. We're going to end up talking about them on a future episode, because I'm not super sure about a couple of them. And that's just the reality that we have here, Rob.
Well, good. That I'm not sure about them either. So,
but I do know one thing. You've got a pair of shoes that you're pretty excited to get out there on the golf course.
Yeah. This podcast, we want to thank Squares Golf. That's Squairz. You can find that at squares.com. They're these new shoes that have come out this year. They're very substantial. I mean, they're really well made. I have not been able to get them out there on the course, but the idea behind Squares is a performance-based golf shoe. It's equipment for your feet. Comfortable square toe box, so a lot more room. And I'm one of those guys who had Forrest Gump braces before I can remember them. So I've got flat feet, so I love to have a wide toe box, and they feel fantastic. I haven't been, again, can't go out and play yet, but I'm really looking forward to trying my Squares golf shoes out.
I'm excited to hear what you think. I have a pair here. I've had some experiences with them comfort-wise. They're very, very fair to the foot. A lot of information to take in when you look at that square toe based on what we've been conditioned to know as golfers. But not in a negative way. Certainly with putting, every alignment element you can add to your bag or add to your play is obviously a good thing. And if people are looking for more information, we do have, I'm sure you have a link to it, but we also have some conversation going on the THP community forum. Staff writer Moulton will have some more information. Gary will have more information, I believe, on the homepage soon, as well as an ever-going conversation. So thanks again to Squares. And do you, Rob, do you happen to have that link for everyone?
For Squares, it's squairz.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, and a nice surprise with them is the stay-put laces. So as you're pulling it through, you hear the little click, you know, every single eyelet, and it's very ASMR. It's really cool.
Well, I'm a guy, and I've caught a ton of grief about this on the community, and you guys listening along, give me grief on social, I don't mind. For the longest time, Rob, I played golf with untied shoes, and it drives people, including my dad, absolutely crazy.
Untied?
Yeah.
Were you like Ty Webb or something?
No, I'm not.
Untied Webb?
The untied web, yeah, that's right. So when I put these square shoes on and started pulling up the laces, like, man, these things are serious.
They are. It's like, can I get them off? Like, wow, why don't they have them? They need those in ice skates. That's what they need, Squares laces in ice skates, because
that's smart, yeah, for sure. Know,
they're fantastic. So I'm really looking forward. I added some photos in the forum thread as well. So if anyone wants to check them out, I tried to put some nice ones in there.
Perfect. So, hey, why don't we jump into our next topic, which is kind of a bright spot as we move forward into 2020. And that's, there's some pretty strong rumors and actually some publications out there that the tour is in fact coming back here in June.
Yeah. What's more surprising, that we're expected to get the PGA Tour back June 11th through 14th, or that there's something called the Charles Schwab Challenge? Because I completely forgot that tournament even really existed.
Do you think that tournaments that would normally get ignored or not get the viewership that they're used to are going to see an incredible boost this year?
Oh, especially, it's exactly what I was thinking about. This thing is going to be so highly rated, you would think. For golf, definitely. Because, you know, you still have to temper it because it's golf. If they come back before most sports, you could get that kind of overflow from people who are sports starved. Because I agree, I can't believe that I haven't watched. I mean, there's no live sporting events. I mean, all these betting sites are there. What are they doing now? It's like NASCAR, some sort of like a racing on Xbox or something.
Yeah.
There was something else that was strange. That they're finding anything to bet on. This must be a horrible time to be a gambling addicted. You know, these guys must be dying.
Right. Yeah. I was fully expecting something like esports to take over during this time because you have isolations. You can do it from the comfort of your own home or even on what's called LAN tournaments. So everything's connected. You do have the ability to socially distance yourself as the world adapts to our new lifestyle for the next, hopefully just the next couple of weeks, but we'll see. But I was really expecting esports to take over, not from a golf perspective, because we don't really have a great game or competitive element there, but there's some seriously competitive things that they're going on from a gaming perspective. You got kids, you see the way they react playing things like Fortnite. So
I'm surprised that, you know, Fortnite hasn't crashed, because I haven't seen it happen. I figured that was the number one thing that was really going to happen, you know. But you're right, I was cleaning out one of my old boxes of games. I have an old Xbox and I've got a PlayStation 3, and I think I have the Rory PGA Tour. I think it's from 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. And I said, wow, what, I don't even know what to do. Is my old PlayStation even connected? And so forth, but I haven't popped it in. I wish we did have that game like the old Tiger Woods, because I think I have 02 and 03 down there too. So that's on original Xbox. But it is interesting how esports did not take off during this time. I figured there would be something, but I guess they just weren't ready to do it really and launch and on a large scale, right?
ESPN the Ocho. I was
that's great.
Well, Rob, the great part is we officially just went off course for the first time, so that's great.
We did. That's the whole point of this.
But then going back to the tour coming back, we've missed a handful of weeks now. Is there anything you feel like Master is not considered? Is there anything you feel like you really missed out on so far moving into the middle of 2020?
I think from PGA Tour perspective, we, you know, it's there every week, and we kind of, you know, you kind of poke fun or have or don't have an interest for all these lesser events, you know, consider the ones that aren't the big names, like even in Hilton Head and Byron Nelson and things like that, you know. But we make fun that Mayakoba gets played and like all that stuff. Puerto Rican Open, or Puerto Rico Open, that's played opposite of, isn't it? I think it is like the Masters or something. But anyway, I think hopefully we'll have a newfound appreciation, at least in the short term, for those other events. I think I will, because I really do miss it. Because the first week, the Golf Channel came out with some, all right, what are they going to replay? And it was pretty awful.
It was like the awful same thing over and over and over again, too.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was like, you know, some 2008 or 2018, you know, random event.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you just doing majors? Just keep going with majors. You know, people who never saw Norman and Faldo duel. But I think I'm going to have more of an appreciation for those lesser events, because I just really want golf to come back.
You know, I found myself more and more going down the YouTube black hole, if you will. I was watching like old school Masters reruns that were like showing Tiger's dominant performances. And I would sit up for hours just watching these replays like I'd never even known it before, just in awe. And, you know, when you think about golf and the way people watch it, they want to watch spectacular things. And those stories could and should be told while we sit here and wait, I think.
Yeah, I know. You can go through that black hole. Yeah, for some reason, it looks a lot better on YouTube in a browser than when you watch like a 2004 Masters on a, you know, 4K TV. It's like, wow, they didn't have HD back then. There's no, it's like, wow, this is all, how did I ever watch this? You know, it's
yeah. It kind of reminds me of hockey, man. Watching, you know, early hockey broadcasts. I'm like, where's the puck?
you can't find a puck. You know, that was, It was off. We need Fox Tracks.
Yeah. God, don't do that.
That's the best. But for some reason in golf, you know, Pro Tracer, Top Tracer now, that's great. Can't do it in hockey, though. Forget it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to make that kind of conversation a talking point for another episode, because I also adore the additional statistics and Pro Tracers that are going in. And I'm hoping we can chat a little bit more on how they can implement new and improved things to make that even better. One follow-up question before we move on from the tour. Do you feel unfinished with the players?
Oh boy.
Is it relevant enough that some people call it the fifth major?
Well, if you go to the World Golf Hall of Fame, they will list that on inductees. If they're in the World Golf Hall of Fame, it'll say major championships, and it will list not just senior events, but it will list the players, which that's a 2-hour episode.
Yeah. So Ricky Fowler has won a major. That's great. Yeah, good for him.
Exactly. Hey, how's that?
You heard it here first, folks.
That's crazy to think about. I actually moved on from it, and I think the Players is a great tournament. I've had a chance to play the course. I don't know if you have.
I have not.
It is really cool to play. It's definitely different. A lot of target golf. I did par 17. I know everybody out there is waiting. And then then I hit 2 in the water on 18, so don't worry. But
I'm sure you played it from their tees too, right?
Yeah, it was great. There's just half a fairway there. That's the weird thing about it. It's just 18 is such a strange shot, but I was pretty pumped for 17. Anyway, the Players is a great tournament. It has a great field, arguably the best field every year. But the number one thing you consider is that Tiger was not going to be there for the Players. So how important is the Players overall in the Players' mind?
And interesting.
You have to think about it that way. I just don't think we need a fifth major. I think it's fine and it's fantastic the way it is. Maybe not in World Golf Hall of Fame speak, but overall, it's a great tournament. I don't miss it every year.
Well, I'm not touching that one. That's a big one.
What do you think?
Man, I don't know. I think the Players is one of the most enjoyable tournaments to watch every year. It's hard for me because when I look at a major, I look at how important it is, how critical the win is, and how impressive it is. So you think about strength of field, the prestige that comes around with winning, and a big part of this is not just what we think as people who watch, but also I look at it from how do the players themselves feel about the tournament. And, you know, I've heard Rory talk about it. I've heard Ricky talk about it. They both won one. So it's kind of like, okay, of course they're going to talk it up.
Yeah.
I want to know what the guy just barely making the cut thinks about making the cut at the Players versus making the cut at the Open. You know, I want that information before I really say this belongs in the running for that fifth major.
Well, I think that's a good point. It's really not out of the realm of possibilities that it is called a major. Although when the LPGA added a fifth major, just seems wrong to me because you can't call it a Grand Slam anymore. So part of that hits me too, right? I mean, but if you you didn't watch, but if you go back on YouTube or whatever and look at Jack in 86th, they were saying he was going after his 20th major. Because back then they were counting the amateur.
Mm.
So somewhere along the lines from 86, and it's probably not just 86, you know, it's somewhere that got changed and the narrative changed. And was it done by a writer? Was it done by, you know, the AP? Like, how did that change in golf to where the amateurs weren't majors and all of a sudden we changed the counts? Because then it's then 20 to 19 if you count that with Tiger. Now, this is not really a relevant discussion with that. It's going to happen, but it's strange. So could it become a major? I don't know. I'm not really in favor of it. I like the tradition aspect of it too.
So ladies and gentlemen, I think that counts as number 2 and 3 for off course. Maybe we need a running total. Maybe we need like a little ding during our podcast.
How many times we actually go off course? As much as my drives.
Oh, man. Well, I love that thought. I think we should definitely come back to it, but we do have a talking point schedule here. And I think we should jump into the third thought of the day. And that is the transition to the World Handicap. Obviously, a big change was made this year. Rob, what are they saying in your world about the World Handicap as it relates? You said you use gin just like I do. How has it impacted you, or has it impacted you in any sort of way yet?
Well, because I only got one round in, nothing major. See, again, we slip in the major talk, but nothing major yet. I was discussing it in January at a simulator with a PGA professional who at a local course, and he was saying that he was requiring every member to come in and enter hole by hole. So, you know, no more than a net double bogey, right? Isn't that, that's correct?
That's correct.
That's great if you have a PGA professional there to help you out and enforce that. But I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for the recreational or muni golfer type of thing to kind of figure out people, because people didn't understand ESC before, you know, so now it's supposed to be easy, but it's more difficult to enter your scores.
Yeah, man, I have so many thoughts on this.
You've experienced it in real life. You probably have some opinions that came from your friends as well, right?
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. So yeah. I'm a part of the rules and handicap committee at my local course here. We are a private club of about 300-ish members-ish and around 275 social members. So we're pretty active in the golf perspective. I also serve on the advisory board at the current moment. So the conversations for us were going on in October, November of last year pretty heavily, because we're trying to find a way to educate our membership. What I found interesting about that was even my head pro, and I truly don't think that those who are operating locally, gin locally, knew or had an idea for in terms of rollout, in terms of how some things worked up until it kind of rolled out. I mean, even when gin refreshed originally, once World Handicap took over, the rating system for my course was still wrong. My index changed pretty dramatically, which was weird. So I think that brought some confusion to people. What I do like, Rob, is there is an option to do hole to hole, but it's not required. So there's a couple different ways you can provide your score. I think for those who are unfamiliar, I think it's incredibly important to do that hole by hole, because it won't allow that error to take place. It will automatically make that change for you. And I think that's great, because I play with guys locally here. We actually just had a conversation about it the other day. We were walking up one of the holes at, I think it was number 8, and talking about, well, how does it work now? Because what can I take? And I said, you can take a maximum of a net double bogey. And he says, well, so net double bogey. So that means, I said, it means a net double bogey. And this is a guy who golfs, man. He knows golf. He knows what net is. You know, he knows the difference between gross and net. I think that just little element of confusion is going to take some time for members to figure out.
Yeah, that we're just really touching on the you know, how to properly enter your score into the handicap system. We're not even, and trust me, I would love to really figure this out, but the real issue is how your handicap is going to fluctuate, you know, based on the course you always play. There's a lot to it, because this is a difficult formula. The course handicap, your course handicap equals, do you know it since you're on the committee? Should I ask that first?
My course handicap from what regard?
No, not the course handicap, but the formula for this in the World Handicap System is course handicap equals handicap index times slope rating divided by 113 plus course rating minus par.
Yeah. Okay. No, I can't rattle that off the top of my head, as much as I look that and like that.
Golf does it again.
So
game to hit a ball in a hole, it makes everything so complicated, right?
But here's what's great about that, Rob. It's not just that. If there is a day where the average score is significantly higher or lower, so it's determining things like course difficulty, weather, those small elements of change can actually change the rating of the golf course. So it's critical for members now to post day of, in order to get their handicaps accurately represented for that specific day.
Yeah, because of daily revisions, right?
I mean, correct. Yeah. So it changes every day. But if you don't put your score in and they determine that day was very difficult, let's call them Sunday pins, extremely fast greens, everyone was a stroke or two above their handicap, that index value for that round is going to be different than just a regular day where handicaps are pretty much on par with expectations. It's kind of crazy to think about, and way more in depth than what it was, but I will avoid going off course personally on this one because I have an extremely opinionated thought on why the index logic doesn't work, slope rating.
Well,
so I'm leaving that one.
Well, that could be another discussion. Because your handicap is calculated each day, I was told by this two different pros, two different courses said, if they're having a 2-day tournament, they're just, it's whatever it is day one. And we're not using revised handicap for day two.
Interesting.
We're not letting it happen. We're not getting that yeah. Because it'll drive us crazy.
I do believe that my course has already spoken on that personally. And they have, I think, a cutoff date where I believe it's like, let's call it the Wednesday before the weekend. To give them time to produce the cards and do all the appropriate things. I mean, obviously our handicaps aren't going to change that much in, you know, a day or two. I would hope not. So
you haven't golfed with me.
And going back to criticizing the bag you got there.
Yeah, that's just a display bag. Don't worry about it. We'll get that taken care of.
But yeah, I think my biggest concern, Rob, is just confusion. And it's even worse now for us here because we do have a nice way of our local group comes in and does a seminar when there are big changes. They obviously had the big changes to the rules of golf. Was that last year? Making some of those revisions to simplify the game, dropping from the knees and all that. So we have seminars where people can come out and watch people explain, local knowledgeable folks explain the changes and answer any questions. We had planned that this year, but due to the changes, the obvious stay in place orders and maximum capacities, we were not able to do that. So I'm curious to see, especially from a committee perspective, what our expectations are moving forward for the year. When golf opens, are we going to start doing that? Are people going to find their own way to figure out the rules? Or, you know, that's my biggest question right now from the transition perspective.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised there is nothing out there that I saw to where, hey, let's take advantage of this time. And for our members, obviously it's a lot easier to do with a private membership. So why they could have taken advantage of that, but it hasn't happened. You know, we're going to get, maybe we'll get some webinars. I mean, we were joking before we came on about, you know, I got an email that says, hey, if you want to come to this club and get a deep dive into the rules of golf from the New Jersey Golf Association or whatever, light breakfast will be served. We'll be there from 9 to 3. All about the new, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can only imagine.
But, walking down the fairways, the wet fairways.
Yeah, that would be what a horrendous time that would. That people are going right now. It's probably the furthest thing from their mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully they have some more clarity. Obviously, last year there was great information online. I think in many ways it still needed to be explained a little bit to a number of members. And we're talking about generations of golfers who haven't changed their clubs or their style or their mindset of the game for decades transitioning to this new system. I don't think it's as easy as creating a video to say this is what you do now. I think a lot more needs to go into something like this before you can get full buy-in from every member utilizing a handicap.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of habits that need to be broken.
Yeah, so I think we have a little bit more time, Rob. We kind of had a bonus talking point in there, and I think it ties into a lot of the other things we're doing here, especially as an entry point into our off-course podcasting extravaganza, let's call it, that we are in the springtime here. What is golf like for you in the spring, more specifically from like a recovery standpoint? What are your expectations when you really first get out there, as everyone who can't golf during the winter is planning to do here, hopefully soon?
I can't imagine how, if which they say that we aren't just going to open up, but say if you would expect that golf courses around the country would open with certain social distancing rules, but I can't imagine how those are not going to be the most crowded places for recreation in America, maybe aside from parks, because if you can't go to work, then what do? You go to a park, and if you're a golfer, you go golf. So I think that's going to, it's going to come back with a passion for sure. But on the purchasing side, I don't know. Cause I just think that immediately I think about the every day that goes by are golf balls not being lost. Only a couple clubs are lost, but golf balls, forget it. That's how these companies make their money with those. So I think that's going to be kind of tough. So there's got to be some incentives out there for manufacturers there. But we're supposed to actually get a coating of snow tonight, which I can't even believe in April it's going to happen. But the next week looks good. I'm just from a Northeaster standpoint, we're just waiting to get back, and hopefully that'll return some sort of normalcy to the golfer life. You know, you're playing, you have a must have a different perspective on that, Dan. Your guys are like, everything's cool, I just have more time to golf, right?
Yeah. I mean, getting a weekend tee time here is not the easiest thing. We've extended to 12-minute tee times to spread it out a bit. The weird thing, though, is based on the local rules, we are not allowed to open our putting greens. We're not allowed to open our driving range. So, I mean, it's not the typical spring for me. I'm used to getting out there. Last year, I spent a bunch of time at Top Golf, which is a really fun thing to do. I didn't really do that this year. And it went from casual, don't really care about winterish golf to casual, definitely care about because I'm posting for handicap spring golf without the ability to work out the kinks. That's what I'm used to doing, Rob. I'm used to hitting that range. I'm 5 minutes from my course, so at any time I can just zip over there and just bang balls until I get it figured out. Now I'm having to do that on the golf course in a once or twice a week kind of thing. It is a weird start to my year, and it's definitely changing my expectations as a golfer when I go out there and say, what can I actually accomplish today? What will actually work today?
Yeah. If that's your method, then it's more difficult. That's closer to my method these days with two kids and so forth, is trying to figure it out a little bit before the round and then say, all right, I'd rather play than practice, period. Any day, I'd rather go out there and pray a little than pray and play, you know, rather than actually have to bang balls for a couple hours. But I can understand that for you, that's different. But at the same time, you got to think, wow, I'm out here playing some golf. So
yeah,
it's good. There's 15 states right now that are closed. Every course is closed. California and Hawaii are there's local bans, and then everybody else is open with the social distancing. So more of the country is open than closed, but around me, forget it. There's nowhere to go. I can apparently Connecticut and Rhode Island, but we try to stay away from there.
So what is your golfing career presently? Are you putting at the house? Are you chipping? Are you breaking any windows? What is it that you're doing?
All I've done is putt. I snuck one round in at a really nice public course called Neshannock Valley in New Jersey before. I don't even remember exactly what day. It was early March. And my first putt, I have a new Seymour plumber neck, like RGP putter. I made like a 55 footer for birdie on the first hole, which was pretty remarkable. And I had another birdie. So I know I should have said, all right, I'm done for the year. I was joking. I said I should just quit golf for the year, and little did I know what they were, you know, hopefully that's not true. But I got a taste of it. So I was ready. I was so amped up, you know, to get the season going, because that's what you do in the Northeast. You're used to, or even where you are, I think, is that you spend the winter inside. It is cold, and even though we didn't have snow, it was you know, it's miserable weather. You're not going out, you're not playing some golf. So when you can actually go outside and you feel humidity again. That's what people want to get away from, humidity, especially people who are out in like California and stuff. But in the Northeast, when I would take my golf trip down to Myrtle Beach and you step out of the plane, you feel humidity in early March. It's awesome. You know you're going to have a good time. You're out.
So every year, and it seems like every year, and it's been every year for the last number of years anyway, aside from, I believe, the year I had my son, at the end of March, I go down with my dad and a bunch of old crazy dudes to Ocean Isle Beach, which is relatively close to North Myrtle.
Okay.
And that's effectively the start of my mental season. That's when, once I've done that and I've got those 8 rounds of golf in, I had better start taking golf seriously.
Then you're going.
And I haven't had that yet. I've got a driver that barely works mentally. It's definitely not the club. That thing is sweet. Everything else is great. I just haven't gotten that chance to really get the year started. And I think it's going to be another couple weeks for me before I really get it going. But from an industry perspective, I hope everyone feels that way. I hope May 1st is like, let's get out there, let's buy some stuff, let's have some fun and really get golf back in our lives.
Yeah. Let's support these guys. And you know, we're doing like local restaurants, you eat out twice a week, you know, or eat in rather, get things delivered or go pick it up. Do the same with the manufacturers. I mean, these guys, there's a lot of people that have had, you know, to be furloughed and things like that. So when it comes back, everybody should try to support them. Maybe at least make one kind of purchase. I'll definitely do my part, but I don't want to see, permanent damage to the industry. Hopefully it's just a dip and it comes back. I think that PGA Tour will definitely help. And hopefully within, in May, well, at least maybe everybody will kind of be opened up around the country.
Oh, I got 4 dozen Bridgestone Tour BRX golf balls to lose, and I can't wait for it.
I'm looking forward to playing that ball. I saw the phone demonstration down at that PGA merchandise show, right, in Orlando, and I'm looking forward to trying the Bridgestones this year.
That's great. I think that's a wrap on episode 1. What do you think, Rob?
I think that's it. I think we've chatted long enough. We went off course a couple of times, so I think we did our job.
I hope you guys are counting on social who went off course the most. And my detailed collection of notes here say that it's Rob. So I feel like that's a new challenge. Do we want to be the winner of off course or the loser? You guys tell us on socials. Once again, we are on Instagram and Twitter. Give us the handles again, Rob.
We're at Off Course THP on Instagram and Twitter.
And as well, we do have a conversation going on the THP community. If you're not familiar with it, it is an incredible group of people who get together, talk golf, save your wife the hassle of listening to you talk about the game you love. Come talk to us about it. We love to do that. Rob, I can't wait to do this again, man. Thank you so much.
I know it was a lot of fun, and I want to, again, a shout out to Squares, Squairz, for sponsoring this podcast for us. And I'm happy to be here at Hackers Paradise. Thanks.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.